Hi, this is Christian Buckley. I'm the managing director of GT Consult here in Bellevue, Washington.
And I'm Craig Tarr, the CEO and co-founder of GT Consult, and we're here to talk to you about SharePoint administration for online SharePoint and the differences with on-premise versus in the cloud.
Yes, and we're going through a module 4, talking about solving some of the common problems. And we've already shown a couple of examples in the prior module. Module 3, we went through and talked about a few things, but we're going to show you some other common scenarios, things that you need to be looking at, thinking about. So just a quick overview. The 5 most common management issues using SharePoint Online. Well, it's really using SharePoint, how they translate to SharePoint Online. So we talked about these at length in Module 1. We're going to go through and talk about them in detail now. What are the 5 most common management concerns? So number 1 is around those policy and procedures. So documenting those things and putting those, translating those into SharePoint. And that's really what we showed in the last module, module 3.
But essentially, this could be talking about security policies. It could be talking about management of your data and the type of auditing and records management that you need to put in place. But also training your end users to get them to follow those policies. And I think quite importantly, when Microsoft talks about Office 365, they talk about user adoption. And I believe this actually fits into user adoption in terms of training, planning, and getting that user adoption in place to make your project a success.
And there's proactive as well as reactive policies that you put in place. And I mean, certainly as you know, the life cycle of SharePoint, you're going to learn by the usage patterns of your end users, of your admins as well, of what you need to have in place to manage the platform successfully. And so you're constantly going to be in there reviewing and adjusting those things, hopefully also auditing on a regular basis.
The second that we're going to look at is the failure to implement any kind of permission-based practices. And here we're looking at really setting up least privilege principles. Now, what essentially does that mean, Christian?
Well, so you've got that common denominator of the experience across all of your end users. It's funny, it's like with a SharePoint experience, so much of it by default, if there's issues, then you can look back to the permissions of that end user and most likely identify, you know, that problem. So, I always start there. If somebody says, hey, I'm trying to accomplish something, it doesn't seem to be working, I'm hitting an error, I'm not able to get to that page, whatever that is, it fundamentally comes down to permissions and looking at, okay, we have those least privileges across the board for people, but this person is more of a power user. They're trying to accomplish something. Instead of me having to do that for them, let me give them the extended privileges to accomplish those things on their own.
But I think as part of that, every time I go into a client, they'll say to me, well, we've got this file share. It worked great for us, except then we started applying permissions for certain people in certain areas. And at the end, they've just got an absolute mess in terms of the permissions. So I think the idea here is utilizing the concept of groups, both in SharePoint as well as in Active Directory, to manage the permissions within your environment.
It's sloppy procedure to manage permissions through exception. And so, yes, by as much as possible, use those groups. Look at, extending here. This is, you can have an individual user that has multiple, it's part of multiple different groups and has different permissions based on those access levels. But you want to manage the masses through that.
Okay, so let's go into a quick demo of what we're really talking about in terms of permissions. So if we move across to our Contoso team site and go to our site settings, by default, anyone within your Office 365 tenant will be available to provide permissions in terms of your site. So we have these people in groups, the site permissions, site collection administrators, who essentially got rights to absolutely everything in your...
That's the top level admin role.
Yep. But we've also got the site app permissions, where specific apps that you've deployed into your SharePoint environment you can give permissions to. Now, where do these actually come into play? Well, quite importantly, in our team sites and our documents, you can get quite granular in terms of the permissions. So if we come through into our documents library here, the library itself will have permissions. Depending on what site I'm in, it might inherit those permissions. Or I can apply granular permissions by going to the library settings and going to the permissions for this document library and adding in either specific users or groups into that environment. Once again, though, we said try and stick away from your granular permissions. Rather provide a group with access into any specific library. Coming back into the document library, though, we've spoken in one of the previous modules about creating an extranet where you now want to share the information with other parties. So how do we go about this? Well, you simply click on the document, go to share, and it pops up a console which allows you, or dialog box, which allows you to share information with someone either within your organization or not in the organization. So by default, it will find anyone within the organization by just starting to type in the name, and it will pick up the user. So here I've typed in the administrator, and straight away it picks up the possible users that might have administrator in their name. But what now if I want to share this with someone outside of my organization? So let's send it to Craig at GT Consults. Now SharePoint will find me firstly. I can click on that. It tells me that Craig is outside of this organization, and I can now share that document that I can allow him to edit or to view. But I can also choose for him to require sign-in and or not. Now, that was one of the administration consoles that we changed, where we said, well, external users are allowed to sign on, and they could also access information without signing on. Now, obviously, there's a security risk around this, but you can manage this as an individual within libraries that you've got access to. So as a as an administrator, you need to be aware that your users can give access to external parties, to any documents in a specific library. So quite important there, making sure that the right rights are provided in that document library, because as far as this goes on, I can choose don't require a sign-in, send off a notification, and it's going to send a notification to me at Craig Tarr that I've got access to this document without being able to sign into the SharePoint.
Without having to sign in, yeah. Correct.
Okay, moving on.
So three, so talking about auditing your content and sites, and adhering to those compliance or governance requirements is something, again, we've talked about throughout this session about a lot of organizations fail to do even some of the basic auditing. They're not aware of some of the rules and regulations that govern how they should be using the platform. So it's important to understand what's out of the box, what your requirements are beyond what's out of the box.
So just coming back into the next demo, in module three, we discussed the auditing log reports, and just to revisit that, SharePoint gives you the ability to go and have a look at what content's been viewed, deleted, etc. And this is based on the audit results that you have configured in your policy settings. But another one of our audit capabilities is the popularity and search reports. Moving too fast through there. The popularity and search results. Now, this is quite useful in terms of understanding the user adoption of your system. So if I open up the results for usage as an example, it shows me a graphical representation of exactly what's been going on the farm
over the last month. Yes.
Absolutely nothing. I'm glad to see that this is our demo environment.
It's a demo environment, I know.
But essentially, we'll track any of the activity against that site. But that is on a per site basis. What about on your farm basis? Well, let's move back to our dashboard. And on our dashboard, we have a number of different reports under the Office 365 Admin Center. And those are provided both for OneDrive, for Link, for mail usage, etc. But some of the nice metrics here are around SharePoint. So let's go and have a look at the tenant storage metrics. And this allows you to start reporting on the amount of data that is used within your farm. Now, you can see our farm hasn't grown significantly here. It actually looks like it was deleted on one day. But it essentially gives you a good idea of when that storage needs to be upgraded, and you need to start investing in new subscriptions for more online data. And you can have a look at that over different periods, as well as aggregate over daily, monthly, or weekly.
You know, what's important about this, having that level view as well, so going in and looking at it from an Office 365 standpoint, if you think again about where the platform is going and some of the experiences that Microsoft is developing that span the various workloads, so instead of going looking at reports at the individual within Exchange, within SharePoint, within OneDrive, you want to be able to see data that's being interacted against across those workloads. So I think that going at that Office 365 level is we're going to start to see, this is a bit of the speculation, the gospel according to Christian, but we're going to start to see some reports and capabilities, analytics that span those workloads. So it's the difference between doing the deep dive in and having these reports just available within each of the workloads versus across the top.
Is that part of the New Testament or the Old Testament? So coming back into Office 365, we're going to look at TeamSite deployments. Now, this is quite an interesting metric because it essentially shows you the uptake of the site based on what's being created by users. Now, as you can see, basically, our demo site has been pretty inactive. I blame you entirely for that, Christian. Mm-hmm. But in terms of activity and the creation of sites, once again, you can start building out a kind of pattern to understand whether the sites are being used and really essentially by whom, and get some good metrics there in terms of your admin and understanding your SharePoint environment.
Now, we were talking about, one of the needs is to be able to capture this and to, and show the trending over time of some of these things. And that requires you to go in, pull the data down, store that, and run the metrics on that. It's not going to be able to show that trending over time.
Yeah. Okay, so the next point that we're going to look at is failure to monitor changes to the security settings. Now, we've touched on this in terms of the setting up groups, etc., but I think we need to touch on it a little bit more. There are too many examples where I go into clients and we see granular examples. I'm not sure if you've had the same
experience. Craig, you're always touching on things. All right, let's go.
Okay, jumping back into our site, I'm going to go to our site settings. And where I showed you earlier, peoples and groups, site permissions, site collections, etc. This is essentially where we start managing our users. So let's click on people and groups. And this shows you a great example of how permissions should not be set up. For a simple fact that we'll look at all of the users down here who have all been given, this is under the members, but let's go to the site permissions. And we can see each of the users that have been set up granularly and given full control and contribute rights over our site. Now, essentially, if we start...
Well, except the Excel services viewers.
Yes, except for
those guys.
Can't
trust them, so, yeah.
So let's say Dennis D over here works for the company. You give him exclusive rights in specific areas, and then Dennis leaves your organization. David comes in to replace Dennis. Well, what happens with all of those granular rights that you've given to Dennis all over your site? Well, essentially, you've got to go and find every single area within your site to start replacing Dennis with David. And in some places, that's just literally impossible if Dennis has been with the organization for a large amount of time. So what we prefer to do is set up a group. And under Team Site Members, put all of those members into that group and assign the group rights to specific libraries, sites, and documents. That means that at any stage, if there's a change in those team members, you can literally go and drag and drop a user into this team site. Now, those groups don't necessarily need to be set up in SharePoint. They could be set up in Active Directory and then manage all of your security in one place in Active Directory. Whether that's that works for you or not as an organization, well, that's really up to you.
All right, so back over. So our fifth point is the failure to empower users and admins. And this isn't necessarily a demo that we show around this. This is more of we've shown a number of things. One of the, as we've talked about throughout the session, one of the failures of gaining usage and adoption of SharePoint has been the failure of admins to move out of the technical realm and actually talk to end users about how they're using the platform, what they're doing, what's working, what's what's not working, and giving them the tools that they need to get their jobs done. So this is part of those. I mean, I actually was responding in a conversation out on a LinkedIn group today, talking about some of the shortcomings of SharePoint, and I kept pushing. I said, you know, this isn't a failure of the technology. It's a failure of us as administrators to having these conversations with our end users and taking action on that. To have on a regular basis part of your strategy, ongoing strategy. It's not a one-time provide some training, move on, but constantly going back and nurturing and advocating for the platform. And if you see patterns of usage that are having people butt up against security settings, that you're then having that, you know, make that part of your training, part of the education process for your end users. So something that we've done in the past is we had a couple times a month brown bag sessions. So on a Friday afternoon, bring your lunch in, and we go through, and somebody will present, usually one of the end users will share what they've learned, what they've built, the experience that they've gained with the rest of the organization, so that we're sharing and we're kind of raising up those issues that we're seeing, as well as the best practices that are being developed across the organization.
But it's definitely a balancing act. You need to decide, well, does IT manage your environment? Are they the power users and administrators, or are you going to actually empower the business units themselves? And if so, you don't want to create a bottleneck within the business unit. We've seen on many occasions as well where the administration is handed over to the business unit, and essentially the manager takes hold of those permissions and the rest, and they're not around a lot of the time, and it becomes a bottleneck that you also need to manage. So. It's understanding the balance and how your organization works and really what works for you. As you say, with SharePoint, it always depends.
It depends. It's all about having that continued dialogue with your end users and helping. Remember that SharePoint is there to empower the business processes, empower your end users to get more work done. It's not about just having them fit into something that is against the business activities that they're trying to accomplish. Just to summarize this module, we've walked through and talked about how to accomplish some of those common tasks. I know that we kind of blew through some of that. There's so much detail that's there. For those that are experienced administrators in SharePoint Online or on-prem, so you're going to be able to navigate through and understand what some of those pieces are. But again, I urge you to take a look at those common scenarios that you see in your own organization go and look at how you're actually going to be able to accomplish those tasks over in SharePoint Online. And so run through those scenarios on a regular basis.
But I think where you get stuck, there's a lot of help available on the site itself. On the sidebar, there is a help panel that moves out. There's also a feedback panel at the bottom that I think is quite important in feeding back to Microsoft what it is that you need, and they're quite responsive to that feedback.
Yep. So in Module 5, the final module, we're going to dig into some of the issues surrounding the cloud transition and how this fits into the overall management conversation and how to plan for some of those changes that are happening in the cloud. So hopefully you'll stick around for Module 5. Thanks a lot.
See you there.